one of the worst pieces of advice that I constantly got when going through cancer was, oh, you should go, you should be resting and focusing on healing. That's the worst thing you can do, in my opinion. Focus on living. Don't focus on healing. Like, don't focus on not being sick.
So I've been fascinated for some time by one of the great tensions of our shared humanity, our propensity to experience at one and the same time both great love and great suffering, where we can find ourselves both holy and broken, hurting and healed. As a pastor, I've seen people face the worst moments of life and yet in them discover the greatest moments of their humanity, where suffering and struggle and injustice birth something profoundly honest and real and hopeful. If you're anything like me, I yearn to hear stories of women and men from around the world who have found themselves wrestling with God and as a result have walked away with a beautiful limp. I'm Andrew Gardner, and this is A Broken Hallelujah. Well, hello everybody, and welcome to the very first episode of A Broken Hallelujah. I am so glad you've made a decision to tune in today and have a listen and be a part of this conversation where we're wanting to dissect what happens to our faith in the worst moments of life, in those moments where we find the greatest challenges. How do we walk in our relationship with God? How does it change? How is it challenged? And what are the real things? What are the honest things that we wrestle with when wrestling with God? That's what this podcast is all about, and we hope that these conversations from women and men across the world will be inspiring to you, will help you in your own journey of faith. And perhaps if any of you are in a moment of crisis or a moment of trauma or are working through something going on in your life right now, these conversations will be a kind of healing tonic to your soul. They'll invite you into new spaces in your relationship with God, as well as how you reflect on your humanity and what is going on in the world around you. So we're so glad that you are here with us today and a part of this conversation. And this episode is incredibly personal for me. In this episode, I interview one of my closest friends. His name is Joshua Wong. And the interview actually took place on the 9th of December whilst Josh was in Tijuana, Mexico, receiving some experimental treatment to try to really change the situation he was facing with cancer at the time. And unfortunately, Josh subsequently passed away on Christmas Day. I am the nod as to what I should do with this conversation, spoke to his wife, Chelsea, myself, my wife, and Josh have been friends for many years, and she actually listened to the conversation, and she really felt like she wanted me to put it out there. She wanted everyone to be able to hear Josh's story from Josh's words, and to hear what he'd been through and the ways in which he had encountered God in it, and the ways in which that had really transformed him and given him so much hope and so much life in those final weeks of his own life. I present to you this conversation raw and unedited, as it was that we did it on the 9th. And I do so just with a sense of heavy heart, if I'm honest, but also a sense of joy as I listen to this and as I listen back prepared this episode, you know, just listening to his wisdom, listening to his heart, listening to the things that were on his heart, the hope that he had for the future, listening to his positivity around his relationship with God, was deeply inspiring for me. And my prayer as we release this episode today is that this would be deeply inspiring for you. Some of you listening to this will know Josh and you'll know him well. And my prayer is as you listen to his voice and hear him tell his story, it'll bring great courage and inspiration to you. If you don't know Josh, I pray that you would listen to him and receive some things that are helpful for you in your own journey and in your own walk with whatever it is that you might be struggling or going through. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Joshua Wong. Well, Well, hey, Joshua, it is so great to have you on A Broken Hallelujah. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, mate.
Yeah, I'm going to do a full disclaimer. You and I go back a long, long way. We've been buddies since teenage life. But it is a real honor to have you on today, because I think really the heart of the podcast, of course, is this journey of life in the hardest moments and life where things are, you know, really difficult and we're struggling and we're suffering, and how we walk with God and how our relationship with God changes and adapts through that. And that's really been a massive part of your life in the last number of years. But before we get into that, why don't you just introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about yourself for those people that may not know too much about your background.
Yeah, thanks for having me, mate. My name is Joshua Wong. Like you said, I've known you for many seasons. We've gone through music together. We've gone through youth group together, gone through building companies together. When you were doing a record label, I was doing a design company. And now we're into a new season where you've been a pastor for many years. I'm now a filmmaker. And through it all, God's been growing us. And my latest part of the journey has been, over the last 3 years, battling probably the hardest fight I've had to fight, which is a fight of cancer, which was 1 year cancer free, and now this last 2020 was probably the greatest, most painful, difficult, horrendous, but incredibly blessed journey I've ever gone through. And now I find myself sitting in front of a beach in Tijuana, where we're going through cancer treatment, and it is the most ridiculous irony, because on the surface, you know, I should have so little to be smiling about, and yet all I can seem to do is find myself full of gratitude and praise and overwhelming. I've been very humbled by this journey, and in the greatest way.
Right. And now cancer is a pretty broad thing. And so again, for those that perhaps don't know your journey too well, tell us a little bit about the cancer you've got. Tell us about where you're at in that journey. How serious is it? And kind of, you know, where you are today in that place.
With the cancer. Yeah, I mean, I was diagnosed. I have no history of cancer in my family. I have had a pretty solid good health for the last 8 years, 10 years or so. I cooked for myself. I stayed away from a lot of crappy food and stuff like that. No smoking, only a little bit of heavy drugs. No, I'm just kidding. and very moderate, you know, alcohol. And then all of a sudden it hit me. I've been fighting some weird health stuff for over 10 years, but then suddenly it all culminated in this thing called adenoid cystic carcinoma, which was a cancer found, 1 in 10 million people get it, in the US, even less in the rest of the world. In fact, I think the last person in Hong Kong to get it, I think there's only been one or two recorded cases in history in Hong Kong. And it started for me in my tear duct, and then it was a very, very developed, aggressive cancer. We managed to take a bunch out with surgery and kill the rest of it with radiation in Boston, Massachusetts. So, and then I spent 2019 super excited, cancer-free, what I thought was cancer-free, making my first feature film, which I wrote while I was going into an MRI machine about to be diagnosed with cancer. And then in 2020, when I'm finishing up the film, it suddenly appeared in 5 different places of my body, including my brain, my lungs, my base of my skull, my pleura, and my both lungs. So that was terrifying, especially when they use the word brain tumor, because I'd already lost my eyesight from my right eye, and I was like, well, I can function without an eye, but then you can't function without a brain. I mean, that's just the worst thing you could do, especially for a creative person. You know, like, my job is not based on physicality. It's my mind, you know, it's all I've got. And
And I think that's sort of, I think that kind of raises something that I wanted to explore with you a little bit is the emotions, you know, because emotions really, you know, plays in our mind.
Yeah.
And I, you know, you've been through this terrible place. And, you know, I think in seriousness, you know, you're in a pretty difficult spot with your cancer right now. From, you know, what I understand. And it's a serious thing right now that you're battling.
It's gone to, I think they found now 8 tumors.
Right.
In
you're battling 8 tumors right now. And, you know, you've had to move from Hong Kong to Mexico for this treatment. Talk to me about the emotions of this journey for you. You know, what were the scary moments? What are still the scary moments? You've just had a daughter this year, which is an amazing thing. But I know that there's been lots of highs and lows. Talk us a little bit about the emotional journey you've been on.
The emotions have been some of the hardest things for me. Not so much because it's emotional, but because it's unknown. Like, I'm not an emotional person in terms of, it's not that I don't cry or I don't feel emotions, but I've really suppressed a lot of negativity in my life. I've always tried to be as positive as I could because of, I think partly because of my faith, to be really honest with you. I've done a lot of comparison, you know, I shouldn't be negative because other people have got it worse, or, God's been good to me, so I can't complain. You know, I've got a roof over my head, so I shouldn't be ungrateful. And I think there's absolutely, we should be able to reflect and embrace the good. But I think neglecting the honesty of the trauma that we're going through is incredibly hurtful and detrimental, actually, to our growth. So the emotions were tough for me because to a certain degree, I had to allow myself to grieve. Was my journey the worst? No. But was it terrible? I had to objectively be able to look at it and go, oh, wow, it really is bad. And it took other people speaking into my life in order for me to understand that. It really did. Like, people gave me permission to cry. You know, I had to give myself permission to cry, and it didn't necessarily last. You know, I have a saying that it's okay to sit down in the mess, just don't lie down in it. You know,
right.
And I think that's important. But the emotions, the emotion, going through the emotions was such a healing part of healing from the emotions.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're pretty much the most positive person I've ever met, and that's before you had cancer, and yet that positivity has only sort of seemed to grow through that. But I also know that this has been a very difficult journey. It's been really hard. I've seen those emotions in you. I've seen them in your wife and in the wider family. And
yeah, they're incredible.
And I also know that, you know, you mentioned earlier about your faith, and I know that you've had strong emotions, you know, with God in this time. You know, you've had times
absolutely
where you've, you know, really been angry at him, and at times, obviously, where you've been in a great place of worship. So talk us a little bit about how, you know, your relationship with God, the emotions you felt before him, and kind of, yeah, how that sort of changed or developed during this time.
Yeah, I'll be really honest with you. I haven't ever gone to a place of anger with God. It's astounding and it's surprising, and it's not me being an incredible person or whatever. I've never gone there. But I've and it's partly, I really think it's just partly his kindness. Like, there are a lot of things that I say now as a Christian that before, if I were to have heard other people say them, I would have cringed. I would have been like, oh, all right, yeah, good for you, mate, you know. But it really is true. Like, going through the hardest times has helped me to see his kindness and his incredible gentleness and wisdom. Because he hasn't let me get to a place where I was angry, because I think he led me through the pain. You know what I mean? And pain is, I've really come to embrace pain as an important thing in life. Fear is terrible, but pain, we learn from pain and we grow from pain. You know, it's either, I've come to believe that pain is either an indicator that something deeper is wrong or something needs to be addressed, or else pain is an opportunity to grow or overcome or, you know, or address something. Yeah, and so in this particular case,
I was just going to jump in there and say, I think this is fascinating because I think we as Christians, or just as humans, to be honest, do everything we can to avoid pain. You know, we numb ourselves from pain.
Yeah, we really do.
We really try to avoid it. And I think it's amazing that you've had this experience where you've come to learn to really embrace it. So can you open that up for us a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny. Like, I really came to believe this in 2018. Pain in every single aspect of our life, we understand in like a professional world or creative world, we understand that pain, you know, no pain, no gain. Like you work in a gym, you build a muscle, you working on an instrument, you know, you got to put in practice, you know, all these things. We understand pain is a part of the process of growth, but except in our own personal emotional life, like in a relationship or in faith, we're like, oh, it hurts. I want a new girlfriend. And, you know, oh, it hurts. Oh, God must be terrible, you know. And it's just so bizarre. Like, we seem to divorce that brilliantly simple process when it comes to the most important part, which is our faith or our relationships. But that's what it is, you know, like we have to go through pain. I've even come to the point where I really believe nothing good comes without pain. Like the best things come through pain. My wife is, my marriage is the greatest thing I've ever had in my life, and it came through pain, you know. And I absolutely love, I can't even express in words how much I love my life with my wife and my daughter and my work and my creativity and all that kind of stuff. And it all took work. It all took a lot of work, you know? So that's kind of my thing with pain, is like, now I'm like, suck it up, you know, like, because I mean, and especially through cancer, man, like that. This is a great example. So right now I'm going through something called immunotherapy, which is super, super healing. It's using the body's immune system to fight the cancer by doing all these natural things that have side effects. Now, the funny thing is, what we learned in the first week here is there are symptoms of immunotherapy that mirror identically the side effects of having a tumor. They look exactly the same in terms of side effects. So all of the symptoms that I had at the beginning when the tumor was at its worst, I'm starting to have them now, even worse than when I had a massive tumor. But my tumors, we'll find out in a month or so when we do more tests, but my tumors should be shrinking. Not my tumors, the tumors should be shrinking and dying. Yet side effects look exactly the same. Mm. I mean, how bizarre is that, eh?
Yeah, totally.
And that's kind of a perfect analogy. I didn't even think of that until now, but it's a perfect analogy for our pain in life, you know?
Absolutely.
We think it's hurting us, but it's really, it's not even, I don't even like that expression, whatever doesn't kill us makes us stronger. I think that's completely wrong. I think, no, whatever we're going through is part of the reason that we are stronger and we're growing in leaps and bounds. You know what I mean?
One of the things that you just said a minute ago, which I want to pick up on, is, you know, you corrected yourself. You said my tumors, and you said, no, not mine, the tumors.
Yeah.
What is it about identity, you know, and your journey with cancer and how you see yourself as a human? You know, talk to me a little bit about that, because I thought that was a really interesting way that you corrected yourself. And I assume there's something behind that.
Oh, it's one of the first things I learned. I don't even know who told me. Could have been Leora Kaler, who's been instrumental in mine and Chelsea's walk through this whole disease. But it's really important to divorce yourself from what is happening to you and what is in you. The cancer is not mine. The disease is not mine, and sickness is not something that God wants me to have, but I'm enduring it. I have to go through it. It is my journey. I get to own the journey. I get to own the growth, but it's not my tumor. You know, I'm sorry, but sod that. Like, the tumor and the sickness is happening to me. Right. I'm not going to embrace that. I'm not going to own that.
Mm.
No, I'm going to own the healing.
Right. So this is something I wanted to pick up on, actually, to just with that is, you know, number one, you said, you know, sickness is not something God wants me to have. And I want to push back on that a little bit, or I want to talk about that, because I think, you know, that's an interesting statement for you to make. And then healing as well. I'd love to walk with you and wrestle with you a bit on how you define healing, because I know that you've been having a lot of people praying for you.
There's a lot of people
that are standing with you, which has been actually a beautiful part of this journey. And I've had the privilege of being a part of that group of people.
Huge part. But
how do you define healing and God's role in that in your life?
That is, and I'm, how do I answer this? That's such a good question, because 3 years ago, it would have been a very different answer. I think healing is a very two-dimensional thing for me before. It's very simple. It's like, well, here's a great example. I think a lot of people's perspective on healing is the absence of pain, the absence of struggle, or the absence of difficulty. Like, oh, I was hurt. Oh, I've been healed, so I no longer am hurt. And I don't believe that's it, like, anymore. Because I realized that there are so many layers to healing, and if we are focused on just the one, then we miss out on all the others. So actually, the biggest, I mean, I won't go into in too much depth, but what I really found was the depth of the pain, literal physical depth of the pain that I went through, has, in this journey over 3 years, has literally mirrored the immensity and the profoundness. I don't know if that's a word. Is it profundity? I don't know.
Profundity,
but
yeah.
The profound depth of the healing. So the depth of the pain has paralleled the depth of the healing for me. So there were moments in 2018 where it was tough, and I found healing, and it was amazing. And I thought that was the greatest thing ever until I hit 2020. And I hit literally the worst pain I've ever felt in my entire life, going through chemotherapy. And it wasn't even physical. It was psychological. It was emotional. I came to the cusp of thinking I had nothing to hold on to. I had nothing that I could hold on with. And literally within 24 hours, healing, immense generational healing, psychological healing, emotional healing. I'd say 41 years of scarred, deep scars, God just touched, you know, which is why to this day, I'm very reluctant to ever give anybody 5 steps to healing, because I don't think there are steps to healing. I think God walks with you, and at the right time, he goes, all right, let's deal with that. All right, you're done with this part. All right, let's move on from this, you know. And he just touches it, you know.
That's amazing. Yeah, I think that's really been a part of your journey, and something that I'm so impressed with is how much broader and deeper your understanding of healing is.
Incredible.
And how most of us are so shallow. You know, it is the absence of pain. It is the disease is gone. That's healing. Mm. Well, that's not actually healing. Healing is so deeper and broader than that. And the cancer may still be with you, and yet you have been deeply healed in many ways.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's really also... So I do say this. There are 2 steps that I always share. There's 2 steps that I've found that were constant in our journey. And I believe that they do bring about, they do help significantly with healing. They may not be the source of the healing, but they will help. One is constant thanksgiving. And I'm not talking like, oh, well, praise God, you know, like no BS, like, It used to be like, oh, okay, I'm going to make a choice to be grateful, but it just becomes muscle memory. Like everything in life, the more you do it, it's not so much it becomes a pattern, but it becomes, oh yeah, well, this makes sense. This is what I do, you know? Like going to the toilet when you're really young, it's kind of difficult, and then it gets older and it becomes normal, right? So but Thanksgiving has been a massive part of it. Like every night when I go to bed, it's not a ritual, it's just habit. Like I lie in bed, I'm like, God, thank you so much for XYZ or ABC, whatever happened. And there have been days where, like, I remember, I never forget one day where I spent the majority of the day lying on the ground, crippled over in pain. And somehow I lay in bed and immediately thought of these things just to be grateful for. And it wasn't difficult. I wasn't like, well, oh, I have to be thankful. Like, it just comes. And I don't know, I can't say what came first, the chicken or the egg. I don't know if it was God who made me thankful, or I don't know if it was me who was choosing to be thankful, so now it's easy to be thankful. But I don't care. Like, it's a baby step, and it's taken me miles. Those little baby steps have taken me absolutely miles up mountains and through incredible valleys. And now I'm thankful every second. There are so many more things to be thankful for than to be angry about. That's what I would say. But the second thing I would say is look really hard for the light. Like in the darkest times, sometimes it's really hard to find the light, but sometimes it's super easy. But the more you look for it, the more you find it, you know? And it just changes your, it just changes, heightens your vision. My dad made a joke when I lost my eyesight in my right eye. He said, you've lost your sight, but you gained your vision, which is a terrible dad joke, but it's come to be a really brilliant philosophy for me, you know, because I see so much clearer now. You know, there's so much you take for granted when you've got everything, when you've got all your abilities, all your senses, all of your, you got lots of friends or, comfort, whatever. You miss so much. But, you know, I encourage people, hey man, for example, fast. You know, you and I have talked about fasting a lot. You know what it feels like when you deprive yourself of something that you've taken for granted. All of a sudden you're like, oh okay, I appreciate that a buttload more now, you know? Mm. And if you want to take it to the nth degree, man, like sit in the shoes of, or stand in the shoes of somebody who is lacking a lot, you know? Like take away, put an eye patch on for a day, figure out how important peripheral vision is, you know? Block your ears, figure out how important it is to be able to hear the people that you love, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah,
it sounds ridiculous, but it really, it's changed my whole life, man. And no.
There's something else, yeah. There's something, it, you know? I'm just going to jump in because there's something else that is kind of connected to this that I think is really super kind of important for us to kind of talk around, and I'd love to get your perspective on it. And it's, you know, when we as a Christian community are walking with somebody who's in a place of pain or in a place of suffering, or, you know, in your case, you know, dealing with a life-threatening cancer, us Christians, you know, can really put our foot in it sometimes, or could really do the wrong thing rather than the right thing. And maybe there isn't a necessarily fully wrong or right, but I know that you've probably journeyed in the last 2 or 3 years with a lot of really well-meaning people within the Christian community of faith.
Sure.
What are some things that you feel people have done right with you, and what are some things that they've done wrong? And I think it would be really helpful for us to learn, from the
Absolutely.
Wrong things. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely start with the right. I mean, it's kind of the same thing, really. The best thing you can do, honestly, is sit and listen. But I would say it's not just listening. It's, how do you say it? Be honest with yourself. Like, I think the thing that has killed a lot of people's perspective of Christians and the church is a lack of integrity in the care that they offer. So if you ask, how you doing? and especially if you know it's somebody who's going through a tough time, to think about whether or not you really care about asking that question enough to wait for the answer. You know what I mean? Because, like, especially in my situation where cancer is not simply a I'm doing well or I'm doing bad. You know, like, it's so great and so muddied in blessings and pain and all that kind of stuff. So, like, I would definitely encourage you, if you're a Christian or, forget Christian. If you're somebody who wants to help somebody who's going through any kind of trauma, before you open your mouth, just ask yourself, do I really care enough to spend the time to listen to the answer if it's longer than I have? Because if it's not, then just wait. Don't ask. Or you don't have to ask a profound question. Just say, hey, man, it's great to see you. You know what I mean? And encourage them, you know? But I think the flip side of it is the things that people have done wrong is they have been too quick to ask or offer without realizing or thinking about whether or not they have anything to give. And I'm not talking about, like, money or whatever. I'm just like, do you have time to give? Because if you don't, then don't commit, you know? If you don't, like, some people don't have experience to give, and yet they find themselves wanting to give advice, which is not helpful, really. I mean, I appreciate your heart, but, you know, people who just show up and go, oh, I know this guy, he went through this cancer, so you should try this. That's not helpful at all. You know?
Yeah, I think one of the things you're talking about, which I think is a really interesting point, is that I think so often in, you know, even in human interaction, you know, the care of someone who is hurting is more about us than it is about them.
Right.
Sometimes.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
It's like, oh, I reached out to my friend who's got cancer, and oh, don't I feel better about that? You know, and
yeah.
here's a little selfie of me with that person on my Instagram story. You know, I mean,
yeah,
it can be a little bit like that.
Can be.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I haven't felt like I've encountered too many people like that. Thankfully. But I have encountered this, and this is the one that I meet the most. It's the person who looks at you and sees a problem, not like I'm a problem, but they see a sickness, they see a difficulty, they see, you know, a burden, and they look at you and they go, how would I feel if I was in their shoes? Now, there's nothing wrong with empathy. I think empathy is great. But empathy with ignorance that leads to action doesn't actually help anyone. So what I find often happens is I meet somebody and they go, oh, Joshua, you have cancer. How would I feel about cancer? I would feel like this. So then I'm going to react to you based on how I would feel. And that right. is not always the most helpful. That often leads to... You know, well, basically it's closed-minded because you're not actually asking anything. You're not saying, how can I help? Or what can I do? So going back to the first part of the question, what did people do well? Some I have tons of amazing people who did some incredible things, and all of them kind of did this. What can I do that would best be supportive to you right now?
Right.
You know,
brilliant.
Then ask in different ways. Like, hey, man, would it help if I just, you know, do you want me to just come over and hang out? You know, like, and some people took, this is the other awesome one. Some people just took the initiative and offered really practical things that people who are burdened and in pain often will not have the courage, audacity, whatever, to ask.
Right.
Like
right.
a lot of people like say, hey, let me know if you need anything. But that's actually not that helpful, I'll be really honest with you. Most people won't say, hey, can you pick up my laundry? But maybe I really need you to pick up my laundry. Maybe I don't have the strength to go down and, you know, inconvenience myself, you know.
Yeah. I think, you know, this is really interesting. I think empathy is an important thing, but empathy is like immature compassion in my eyes.
Right.
Like compassion is allowing empathy to come into action. It's like
yeah.
like empathy is like, oh, I feel sorry for you. But compassion
yeah,
is wow, I my heart is broken for this, and I want to do something about it. And
yeah, I think moved that's into action.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, I also wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, you're a storyteller at heart. That's a thing that I think I've come to see and admire so much in you over the years. You know, you've done that through music in the multiple bands that you've been involved in. And more recently, you've been doing that through film, and in particularly the feature film, The Calm Beyond, that you've just finished. And I've had the privilege of seeing a preview of. And being in slightly, yeah. But, you know, what blows me away is that you did that, you know, like you said earlier, it was kind of in the break. It was when you felt like you were kind of healed of your cancer, but your eye was still gone. You still had a huge amount of, you know, stress in relation to that, the trauma you'd just been through. It blows me away that you're able to, you know, not just direct, but write and edit a feature film in that time. What is it about storytelling? And the music. So what is it about storytelling and film and creativity that has been an important part of this journey for you?
Well, specifically to the journey, it was, I don't know, that's a tougher question. I don't think it was a conscious thing. I think it was, I can say this. A lot of people have asked me about Chadwick Boseman because he's another amazing creative artist who nobody knew was going through the fight of his life with, what turned out to be a terminal disease, cancer. And they've said, does his life resonate with yours? And I said, honestly, I can't compare my journey with cancer with his journey with cancer. But what I can say is this. I can say that a lot of people have asked me, how do you do create this, all this creativity of blah, 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 while going through such a difficult disease or difficult, you know, challenges? Because we also had a baby, we also had COVID, we also had economic crisis, etc. And we had our whole thing with yellow and blue in Hong Kong. And I would say I did it because of that. Like the creativity helps you to get past all of that stuff. Because there's nothing, one of the worst pieces of advice that I constantly got when going through cancer was, you should be resting and focusing on healing. That's the worst thing you can do, in my opinion. Focus on living, don't focus on healing. Like, don't focus on not being sick. Don't focus on not dying. Focus on jumping off a mountain into the air and chasing your dreams, you know? And so that's what I would say, like when they ask me about Chadwick Boseman or anything like that, I'm like, the thrusting myself into the wind with storytelling and creativity is how I found the energy to not just fight the disease, but run against the disease.
That is so good because I felt when I was sitting in the cinema watching the film myself, so emotional. And I think it was emotional just because I've known you for many, many years. But it was like, this is Josh right here. You know, this Josh is a creative, he's a storyteller, he's a filmmaker. Josh is not the man who has cancer. He's the man who creates this stuff. This is his life, you know. And I think that's what you've just said there about, you know, don't think about healing, think about living, don't think about how do I get better, but think about how do I live life to the fullest that I can. It's a very deep and profound thing to say, and I think that's always Christ's desire for us to be fully human, to be fully alive, to, you know, even in the midst of the worst moments of life, how do we still live in a way that
and I really feel like that's when you're talking about storytelling, like for me it's storytelling and creativity, that's my flavor. That's the flavor I bring to, or my economy, whatever, you know, whatever you spend, that's what I bring to life. But when I think about that, I think about in everything, it has to have integrity and authenticity. And so when you, Andrew Gardner, sit and watch my movie, you're not watching a movie of somebody who's like, okay, how can I put in all these important aspects into the film or the story or whatever to communicate to the audience, a specific target audience or whatever, this thing that will make people enjoy the movie. You know, I think when it comes down to having integrity and authenticity in your the economy or the flavors that you bring into life, it just melds. It just harmonizes. Because even when I look back at the film, I get surprised the amount of me that is in the movie, me that is in the story. And I didn't do that intentionally out of ego. I just did it because it flows from you. You know?
Right, exactly. It is you. you are this person that you're breathing life into a story.
Right. You know? Even though it's about a young Asian woman, you know, none of the characters actually relate directly to me as a young Asian male growing up in Australia or whatever. But I just think that's where the beauty of storytelling is that you, and it's why it's my call in life, is that it's about connecting with humanity and inspiring people to want to, I really want to, basically to give a crap. Mm-hmm. That's my mandate in life. I want to inspire people to give a crap. Mm-hmm. And I believe that storytelling is one of the most powerful and profound ways to do that, because it involves music, it involves visuals, but it involves empathy. It involves, you know, like psychology. It's all of the areas. I believe it lights up all of the senses of the brain. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So, when is the movie out? Do you have a sense of hopefully when it's going to be out?
Yeah, I think it'll be out early 2021. We're dealing with God's been amazing through this entire journey, and this is pretty much the cherry on the most perfect ice cream cake ever. But sugar-free ice cream cake, because I can't eat sugar.
Of course.
We are about to sign a distribution deal for next year, which is very exciting. So hopefully it'll be in theaters. Well, brilliant. I believe it will be in theaters very soon, which is great.
So how can people stay in touch with you? How can they follow your storytelling, the film itself? How can they follow you as a person? What's the best way for people to stay connected?
The good thing with social media, honestly, is that especially through going with cancer, I don't really care about I don't care about staying in touch, but I don't care about keeping out of touch, which is great. We just share that's the best thing. I always love to say to you, Andrew, I don't envy your job at all, because you have to stand on the stage and tell people things directly. I just get to share, and you can disagree with me or agree with me all you want.
Right, right.
So we do that through social media a lot. You can follow me on Facebook, Joshua, I think, what's my name on Facebook? I forget. Just Joshua Wong, I guess. On Instagram, you can definitely find me as the other Joshua Wong, because I don't want to be the first Joshua Wong that everybody knows about. And you can definitely follow my wife, who's also incredible, Chelsea Wongnak. And just for kicks, you can follow another Instagram feed I have called The Wong Dad, which is my photoshopping skills, trying to make me look like a terrible father by putting my baby in danger in different Photoshop scenarios, which is fun.
I love that. And you can follow the film on At The Calm Beyond, I think.
At The Calm Beyond, yeah. Yeah.
Brilliant.
But we definitely encourage you, please get in touch. And, you know, if you have any questions, if you have any thoughts or conversations, you know, just don't be shy. More than happy to share. And sharing life is the only thing that really matters, really, I believe. So we'd love to get in touch and say hi.
Well, Josh, you've been an inspiration and an encouragement. So much of what you shared today,
I think
it's going to be so helpful for people as they think about walking through their own times of personal trial and difficulty.
Absolutely.
How they hold on to their relationship with God in the midst of that, but also how they can journey with others more effectively and better through what they're going through.
Sure.
And hey, I really appreciate you taking the time, particularly as you're in Mexico and dealing with all that you're dealing with, to take the time to connect today and have a chat. So thank you so much,
pleasure,
mate. And we wish you all the best in the journey you're on right now.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. And absolute privilege to be on such a cutting edge, exciting podcast talking about things that honestly, a lot of people don't want to talk about, but we really need to, and healing will come from all of this kind of stuff. I love it. Love it.
Bless you, mate. All right, we'll talk soon.
All right, buddy. You're the best. Love you, mate. Talk soon. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Joshua as much as I did. So many great insights into his journey, his background, and how that can be an encouragement in our own journeys. If you were blessed by that, can I encourage you to share the link of this podcast with your community, your sphere of influence? We would love to get the word out there about Joshua's story. And perhaps you know some other people in your life who have an incredible story to tell about how they've met God in some of the hardest moments of life. We would love to be able to get connected to multiple stories around the world. So please do reach out to us. You can contact us on contactabrokenhallelujah@gmail.com. And I would love for you to subscribe to this podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, if you want to hear more from A Broken Hallelujah, please do subscribe to us. That would really help us out a lot. And I can't wait for the next episode that's going to be released in a couple of weeks' time. I'm interviewing a good friend of mine called Michael Bornay. He's a spoken word poet based in Long Beach, California, and he's got an incredible story and really incredible way of artistically and creatively expressing his cultural experiences as a Black American living in the U.S. right now. And that's such a relevant conversation for us globally. I think you're going to really enjoy it. You're going to learn a lot. So do tune in. Keep an eye out for that. It's going to drop in a few weeks' time. Until then, I hope everyone does well. Let's continue to think about Chelsea Emery and her family. Let's keep them in our thoughts and prayers in the weeks and months ahead. God bless everyone.